All right, so welcome. Whatever the intention and the calling that brought you to this class, I am so excited to share the next 30, 45 minutes together, where I will offer you not only the personal story of why Peru is so enchanting, but also the different way how they look at the world and the place that humans are play in nature. So this is going to be a rich journey, whether you've been to this country, to entire region, or you dream of going. I have found that so many of us in the West and in Europe are not really familiar with the richness of their culture and their shamanic tradition. So this class dedicated is exactly to that because according to many different spiritual prophecies, including the Inca prophecy, Peru is the mystical and spiritual center of our times. So if you are called to it, there is a reason. And if maybe you're completely brand new to my work, maybe somebody will watch this webinar as a replay. On my social media channels, I'm Katarina, and I wear many hats, including this one. This is one of my favorite Peruvian hats. And in my work in the world, I walk the path of a seer or a psychic, you can say, a wisdom channel, and a mystical mentor. I am very passionate pilgrim to the portals of the earth. From the moment the very first portal has called me, it was India. It was such a powerful journey of remembering my past lives. And then came China and Bali and Egypt and all over Europe. Each portal of the earth offered me profound gifts and activation of remembrance. So I began to pay attention to when a place of power calls me, because it's never random. It's always for a reason. And Peru is a place of power, mystical power. So today we're going to dive into these four or five topics. And the first one, right away, I want to introduce you to the Inca prophecies of the current times and how it can validate what many of us are searching for right now, and how it can encourage us to find our place to contribute to the time of great change. I'm also going to dive into this topic of magic and how Inca saw magic and how we can work with it. Probably my favorite topic is mysteries of Machu Picchu, that it's not just a bunch of remarkable ruins and fascinating archaeological site. This is alive, deep, conscious being. Machu Picchu is a conscious being, an entity, an elder, as they call it. So I'm going to talk more about that. And out of very rich cosmology of Andean people, we could spend 3 months just studying their cosmology. I will share with you the one that touches my heart the deepest, that Andean people really embody, and it's reciprocity, or they call it Aini, the sacred exchange, the giving and receiving. Andean people really embody this, and every time I am there, I'm so inspired by how they walk and they live the way of the heart. And the last but not least, I want to share with you what I've learned from all my trips there about Pachamama and Apus. Now, Pachamama is not just a name for Earth, Mother Earth, it's a name for something bigger and something really more profound than that. So a deeper understanding of this and how the Andean people, Andean shamans, look at Pachamama and Apus as our true nature parents that we can connect to and communicate with them for guidance. So, Inca prophecy, who are the Incas? I think I have a different slide for that. But the Incas are Andean native Indians, right? So just like how in America we have native Indians, in the South America they have these native Indians called Inca. And they're mostly known in the world for their great empire, Inca Empire, and incredible temples and incredible cultural heritage, right? So much we can talk about that. But the Incas are still alive. And when the Spanish conquistadors, I think that's what it's called, the Spanish tried to conquer Peru, lots of Incas left and they began to live at the very, very top of the mountains where the Spanish could never reach because they didn't have the endurance and resilience and no way to adapt to those tops of the mountains. So these Incas are still there and they cultivate very rich tradition. They are some of the most masterful shamans and healers. To be an Incan shaman, you have to be chosen by the nature spirits. And the way that you are chosen, okay, this is really, really powerful. Usually you will be stricken by lightning, and not just once, twice, as a sign from nature spirit that you are chosen to walk the path of the shaman. So it's just not just something like, in the West, we can take a course and consider ourselves a shaman. This is a rich tradition, the rich and initiatory path. So these are the beings who cultivate profound relationship with the spirits of nature and communicate telepathically to the mountains, to Mother Earth. And they offer us this beautiful prophecy that right now we are in the time that is called Taripai Pacha, or the age of meeting ourselves again. And it's a time where every human being must step forward into their true destiny. So there is no way of living half-hearted, right? Life drifting our way through. This is the decision lifetime. This is a lifetime where we decide to truly embrace our destiny. And the beautiful prophecy that they offer, that every single nation of the world is being called on to step into the nation destiny and to offer their unique natural gifts. So, for example, the USA, America will be offered very physical, financial gifts to contribute to the world. Europe will be called to offer their intellectual gifts and their mind, right? Genius. And the South America will offer the way of the heart. So if you are drawn to this class, or if you've been very curious about Peru, it is because so many of us in the West, we are yearning to reconnect with the way of the heart. We are tired of living through intellect alone, or through achievement, or worshiping on the altar of materialism. We're getting tired of that. We want to connect with the heart. And Peru calls us because people there live through the way of the heart. Okay, now is the time for me to show you my face. So good to be here with you. And by the end of this class, I'm also going to share with you an opportunity to journey to Peru because I feel so blessed to go there every year. Well, so far every year until the mountains will say you're complete and we don't want you to come back anymore. But for now, they gave me an assignment to be one of the many bridges to bring people to Peru. So one of the best way that I can share their message is to share their core values and their rich culture and the beautiful, beautiful gifts of that country. that truly moves my heart every single day. So this is the Inca prophecy. This is the time where we all being called to rise in our true destiny. And what is our true destiny? That unique soul purpose and the unique soul assignment that only you can fulfill, your place in the web of life, right? It's not your career, it's not your job, it is your unique song, your unique soul song, your unique contribution. And until all of us are choosing to rise up and express our destiny, we are not going to fulfill the true potential of our humanity as a soul. So this is the journey. So how do we rise in our true purpose, right? It's one thing to feel that yearning, to feel that desire. How do you find it? How do you unlock it? How do you step into it? Well, I can share with you from my experience. I've been on the quest for my true soul purpose for over 10 years, and I held this deep prayer. I was relentless in asking that question, what is my true path? And some of the most challenging years of my life where I felt like I didn't know what that was. And it was a very, very anxious time for me. And what helped during those times, what helped me to receive an inspiration or a sign which direction is correct for me is this one thing. Is two things actually. The first one is to connect with nature because nature is the most powerful teacher. And when we dive into the topic of the mysticism of the Andes, we're diving into conversation of nature mysticism, that mysticism is a direct experience of the sacred. It's direct curriculum of the most profound divine truth. And nature is the most powerful teacher. So how do we go to a places where nature is respected, where nature is not abused, where nature is revered as divine? And the Andes and Peru is that place. So I would say if we are desiring to connect to our true soul purpose, there is two pathways out of many pathways, but two of them that I see the most. First, immerse yourself in nature so you can begin to hear her voice. You can begin to hear her communication, telepathic communication with your mind and with your heart. And second, embark on purposeful travel. Right? Gone are the days where we go somewhere just to snap a few photos and eat some delicious food of the place. That's great. But there is something so much more meaningful that awaits for us. Because when we leave the comfort of our couch and go to a place of a different culture and different tradition, we create so much growth for ourselves, and we ignite our brain with these new neural connections, and we feel alive, and everything becomes fresh, right? And all these questions that we hold, who am I? What's my purpose? What's the next stage of my business, of my career, of my relationships? When you put yourself in a new environment that stimulates new connections in your brain, that opens your heart, that gives you these new perspectives, you accelerate your growth and the process of your discovery in a huge, huge way. I'm convinced of this. So this is exactly how Peru called me. I'm a big champion of this thing called sabbatical. And every year I take a sabbatical. And what that means for me is for 1 month of a year, I take all off my hats, right? And I go into this process of discovery, of pilgrimage. And this is how Peru called me. In the year 2021, I began hearing the voice of my guides, of my spirits, and they just kept saying, Peru, you got to go to Peru. And I knew nothing about this country on the conscious level. Of course, I was ready for a surprise because the moment I came to Peru for my own adventure, it was like a great reunion. Pachamama, Mother Earth, just rolled out the red carpet for me. And there was synchronicity after synchronicity after synchronicity. And I've experienced all these beautiful things and temples and the incredible hikes and learning from these wisdom keepers. And I believe on the day three, I had a conversation with a local wisdom keeper. And I said, energy here is so powerful. I've never felt such a powerful energy in any portals I've ever been to. And this person said, but of course, have you heard about Kundalini of the Earth that it has shifted from Himalayas, where it used to be for many hundreds of years? Now it's in the Andes. And when I heard that, I felt immediate yes. And the same evening, I was guided to a book that is called The Serpent of the Light. So, if you'd like to dive deeper into Kundalini of the Earth, how there is this energy of Kundalini, just how we have it in our body, the Earth has it in her body. You can read Serpent of the Light and go deeper into this. This was a really powerful confirmation why I felt so different in that land, because it has this charged power. And I've traveled through Sacred Valley, Peru, because you can go to the jungle, right? And a lot of people do go to the jungle to sit with one of my maestro teachers, ayahuasca, right? Great, great, powerful teacher. You can experience the jungle side of Peru. You can go to the Sacred Valley, which has many different microclimates and a very rich community. This is where I've been, and this is where I've learned about this beautiful tradition of shamanism, Andean shamanism. And this symbol is an Andean cross that represents four directions. And that represents four elements, our great elders, and profound wisdom. And wisdom, for me, wisdom is another word for enlightenment. And Indian shamans have real magical powers, you know, not like this, what we have, this pseudo magic in the West, the surface spirituality where somebody just, you know, entertains magical wishful thinking. Indian shamans wield a real power because they have earned that power. Just imagine being struck by a lightning as a form of initiation into your path. If you can survive that, wow, your commitment and your devotion has been tested. But if you get scared, if you run away from that path, you're not ready. So when I was there first time on my sabbatical, I was introduced to a healer who worked with a master plant. So in Peru, people revere plant intelligence. There is many master teachers, and beside ayahuasca, there is one plant that is so dear to my heart, and we can't get access to it here in the West for very silly regulations. I would say stupid regulations, but I'm just going to be a little more polite with my language. Basically, because of the law and regulations, we cannot have access to coca leaves here in the West. But this is a very powerful teacher that has been with the Indian people for many, many generations. And they consider it as a master teacher, and it's a messenger, right? Because people offer their prayers to the spirits of the mountains. So when you go to Peru, if you go, or if you are curious to go there, you will notice that coca leaves are everywhere. And these are the leaves are sacred that are utilized to offer prayers and to make offerings. And people will, you know, buy a bag of coca leaves, and they will look for the most perfect three leaves. You know, they're not just going to choose some random leaves. They will spend the time, and they say, to make an offering, you get to find three most beautiful leaves because the spirits of the mountains deserve the very best. And so, beside offering prayers. This is a master healer, master protector, and the master giver of strength. So when I was there first time on sabbatical, I was so fortunate to be at the right place at the right time. It's called synchronicity, right? At the right place at the right time, right next to this amazing woman who works with coca leaves, and that's her entire spiritual path. Imagine your spiritual path is you are a devotee of coca leaves. Like, this is her deity, this is her oracle, this is her path. So she's been apprenticing since childhood, and she offered the reading for me. And from the very first few minutes, she knew nothing about me. We didn't even speak the same language. I needed a translator. From the first few minutes, she told me that I had a very difficult childhood. Yes, check. I did a lot of work to process all of this. Yes, absolutely true. And she said, but you know, you still carry the sadness of your ancestors. So we got to clear that. So she was able to look into my field and she says, you have a tendency to take other people's burdens and carry that on your field. We got to clear that. We got to strengthen your protection. So when you go and you study mysticism of Peru, you're going to encounter the most brilliant healing technologies, the most powerful education of energy medicine, and the most devoted people who cultivate their energy every single day. They talk about, you know, every person has personal energy bubble that can be filled with pure energy that we get from nature, that we get this nectar and pure energy. That's how we energize our energy bubble. And we also can have dark spots of energy stagnation. They call it hucha. And we get to clear it not once a year on a retreat, but literally every single day. But by the end of this class, I will share with you a very simple way that you can do this, right? That doesn't take a lot of time, but takes discipline, right? Because it's really easy not to do that. It's really easy to say, ah, I feel good. I'm not going to do it. But every time, you know, I am in Peru, I am humbled by the way how devoted people are to their energetic practices. And the result of that, when you're around them, you say, these people are so peaceful and they're so present and they're so equanimous. But none of that is random. Equanimity and peace and presence is a result of their communication with earth, with nature, of their reverence for the plant teachers, and also of their energetic discipline. That also gives them connection to the magic, right? And what is magic? Well, here's the dictionary definition. Magic, a supposed supernatural power that makes impossible things happen, or that gives someone control over the forces of nature. We need to upgrade dictionary definition, because why would we want to control forces of nature? How arrogant is the statement? Instead of trying to control the forces of nature, we get to learn how to be a collaborator with the nature. And that's exactly what mystics of the Andes demonstrate to us. Peruvian shamans don't try to control nature. They work with her as friends and companions. And I feel this is one of the reasons why so many are drawn to South America, whether Brazil or Ecuador or Peru, because there is a different pulse. There is a different relationship with the planet. There is a different values, how people live, how people move through their reality, how people connect with each other. It's a very community, based culture. They know that they are stronger together, right? So when people harvest and plant their fields, they do it as community. They say, okay, today it's a farmer A, that's we're gonna all come together. We're gonna plant, this person's field. And then day two and day three, they're just really helping each other. And I saw this with my own two eyes. So what is magic, right? What is magic? Magic is an ability to communicate with nature. I'll share with you an example of this. When I was my very first time at Machu Picchu, right, the cosmic altar, and I was there with a personal guide. It was just me and a guide, and we got there, and it was really cloudy. It was rainy and cloudy. You couldn't see those glorious peaks. So, and I'm here with my coca leaves, and one of the guards told my guide in Spanish, and my guide translated me that to me. He said, "Ask her to say a prayer." And I said, "Yes, I can do that." And I touched the ground. I picked the most beautiful three leaves. And I invoked Machu Picchu with my intention and with my prayers, right? It takes that levels of openness to do that. And I said, "Great spirit of Machu Picchu, would you open these clouds? Would you open this rain? Let us see your beauty." And within less than a minute, the weather has changed and the sun came out and the rain stopped. And I was awestruck because this was a demonstration of pure magic, right? When you approach nature's spirit with humility and a childlike innocence, nature spirit collaborate with you and says, "Yes, I'm alive. I am conscious." So one of the big teachings of Indian mysticism is that everything in the universe is alive. Every tree, every rock, every living being has consciousness, and every living being is a messenger of Pachamama, Mother Earth, right? So it's really powerful. I saw that with my own two eyes. And then another huge part of the Indian mysticism is a ritual. Everything is a ritual, including making an offering. So one of the things that I look forward to every time I come back to Peru with my group, day one, before I open a retreat, we have a local wisdom keeper who comes and gives us an hour and a half deep dive education into Indian cosmology. And she brings this profound teachings about how they see the world and the time that we find ourselves in and different teachings of the elements and all of that. One thing that stood out for me the last time, she said, "We always ask for permission before we approach a tree and make an offering. We ask the tree telepathically, is it okay to make an offering next to you?" This simple share moved me so deeply because I observe, my Western arrogance that I was born into and indoctrinated into, right? Just because it's a tree, it's inferior to me. So I can do what I please. I can come to the tree and just make an offering, right? And when I was there and just heard that, it moved me so deeply, this level of humility, right? To consider the tree as an equal to you, with its own intelligence, its own sovereignty in a way, right? So before you make an offering, you ask for permission. And then before they plant the seed, right? There, for example, it's a harvest season, and the Peruvian people are farmers. So they are master cultivators of the land. They have 3,000, more than 3,000 varieties of potatoes and corn. So before they plant anything, they pray. And that before every planting season, there's going to be an offering, an invocation of Pachamama, and a prayer. And they co-create and collaborate with the earth. Again, seeing that and experiencing that with my own two eyes just filled me with so much reverence for this profound humility that these people cultivate to the earth. So a ritual is the bridge between us and nature spirits. Ritual is our language, our communication language. So every time we burn incense, every time we say invocations out loud, every time we cultivate mystical prayer or chant, that's a ritual. That's the way that we communicate with these powerful spirits. Now, next, I'd like to share with you what I've learned about the most powerful place in the Andes, one of them, the most famous for sure, the most famous, but here in the West, we know maybe 10% about it. And it's Machu Picchu, which is known in their tradition as ancient doctor. Again, it's not just a beautiful, magnificent, breathtaking place that, yes, you will be in awe when you see it. They consider it a life, fully conscious being, an elder that you approach with reverence and you communicate telepathically and you learn how to receive the wisdom of this elder. So, again, when I was there, it was such a powerful learning to learn about Machu Picchu as an elder that is alive and that can heal you and you can communicate to it, right? But beside being a doctor, I'm going to come back to this idea a little bit. It's also considered a cosmic altar. So Machu Picchu was flourishing during the time of the ninth Inca, who was a visionary, who was so ahead of his time. And he was a peacemaker as well. He united during his the time of that ninth Inca, he united all the neighbor tribes. And one of the ways to do that was to marry many princesses. So he had a lot of wives, a lot of wives, because that was the way of those times, right? And many, many children. And Machu Picchu, the way that he envisioned, was a future university, a crystal city, where these future leaders would be trained in mysteries, in leadership, in harmonious cooperation with the land, right? So this is really profound. So it is an ancient doctor, cosmic altar, but it's also a crystal city. Why crystal? Because every single mountain is made of granite. So imagine that you are surrounded by massive crystals. This is what Machu Picchu is. And so, of course, it holds memory. Of course, it holds information. Of course, the Akashic field around it is just beaming with communication and sacred wisdom. And it offers you activation of your consciousness if you are receptive and humble to receive it. So, one of my favorite ways to share Machu Picchu with my group is to bring a very mystical guide. I always bring the same guide to every retreat. And the name of the guide is Valerio, who grew up in those mountains. And I always so delight because every year he goes more and more mystical with my group. He talks about Inca emperors who would teleport and go through multidimensional tunnels. And he talks about different alien visitations. And every time I'm so happy because he doesn't hold with me and my group, because we're all mystics. We want this deep stuff. I don't want just basic archaeological conversation. Give me the real stuff, right? So he talks about it, how there's these portals and gateways, and you can have a contact with future beings from different other realities, right? So the cosmic altar, why? Because when Machu Picchu, during the Inca time, they would create offerings, and all the tribes would travel from Ecuador and Brazil, all these other places that would come to Machu Picchu to pray together during solstices and equinoxes to basically contact the higher beings. They would call them gods, right? To make a contact, to be in communication with higher intelligence. Now, a lot of times, people who come to Sacred Valley only experience a fraction of this magic because they take an easy route and they just, take a train, then take a bus, snap a few photos, and feel complete. Oh, about to sneeze. One second. Oh, hopefully not. In my perspective and in my experience, one of the most profound ways you can experience Machu Picchu is actually by walking towards it. And during these ancient times, they have built a pathway called the Inca Trail. And I had no idea about it until I started going to Peru. So it's very little known. It's not as known as Spanish Camino Trail, right? That takes a month to walk. But in Peru, they have this very special trail called Inca Trail that takes a whole day, starting from 9 a.m. You walk this beautiful pathway, and you can see the most amazing wild orchids, and you breathe the most pure prana, the most beautiful air. And that pure prana, again, activates your brain, connects you to your inspiration in the most profound way. You remember your past lifetimes, all this magic, and of course it heals you. So to walk an Inca trail, it's a whole day pilgrimage, is actually one of the ways that you heal on the way towards Machu Picchu. You heal your mind, you heal your heart by releasing the heaviness around your heart. Every time when I come back to Peru, I often go there, feeling a little fatigued from my American life that is very fast. And I'm grateful to be here every day. I'm so grateful to live in this country that gave me so much. But on the other side, I often feel fatigued here, right? It's such a fast life with so many demands and so many responsibilities and so many things to move through. So whenever I go to Peru, I feel like I unpack a lot of burdens and I breathe again and I reconnect to that natural rhythm that is organic, that is timeless, that is so pure. So when you decide, or people decide to walk Inca Trail, it's the pilgrimage that heals you. It's also a pilgrimage that shows you what your body is truly capable of. It's something that you get to train, right? Because you walk for 8 hours, and it's a great mirror, right? If we lost touch with the importance of our vitality and physicality, it's a great humbling experience. You say, I'm gonna commit to being more fit, and I'm gonna remember that my body is important. So that's a little bit about Inca Trail, because when you arrive, one second, I want to show you when you arrive. Oh no. There is this video I have about Machu Picchu. I gotta wait until I show you. But basically, after you finish the 9, 8 hour hike, the reward is that you go through this sun gate. And you see Machu Picchu in the golden light of the sunset. And this is the only place that you can see that view. So you see some peaks of exquisite beauty. We get to earn to see those, and we earn by walking towards them, right? By demonstrating our devotion, by demonstrating our commitment. We're not going to experience the magic simply by taking a bus and snapping a few photos. That's my perspective on why Inca Trail is so phenomenal of an experience. And I'm going to keep sharing about it because it's magical. It's really, really magical. Okay, so next, I'd like to share with you a little bit about the principle of Aini, which is reciprocity, right? Reciprocity. It's this beautiful balance of giving and receiving. There's many different principles of living in Indian cosmology. This one, I feel if more of us begin to practice it, we can heal the world. And it's all about, it's similar to our Western concept of treat others how you want to be treated. But Indian people take it so much deeper, right? They say sacred exchange. Every interaction is Aini. Sacred exchange. So, the energy that I offer to you, since you are another version of me, whatever I give to you, I literally just give it to me. So, reciprocity is this pulse of the Indian culture, the way of the heart, the way of generosity, the way of, treating others with love, Aini. Sacred exchange, reciprocity. I also would like to share with you a little bit about the plant medicine that is not very well known, that is cultivated in Peru. A lot of people know ayahuasca. I'm a big lover of that teacher. We traveled together for many, many years. But then there is another plant, and this is a plant known as Vachuma or San Pedro. It's very common to see it in US because it's absolutely legal to grow it and to cultivate it. It's illegal to participate and to sell it and to, in US it is illegal to do that. In Peru, this is an ancient healing practice. And one of the reasons why I love sharing about Vachuma is because it is a great medicine for people who are brand new to the plant medicine, who may not feel fully ready to practice with ayahuasca, which is a very strong teacher, is the strongest medicine beside Bufo 5-MeO, which is also very strong. But the Vachuma is the grandfather, even though it's androgynous medicine, it's a grandfather. It's the energy of the heart, it's the energy of awakening of the heart. So if you are drawn to Peru, I encourage you to open yourself up to an opportunity to practice with this medicine. Usually it's a full day experience and it's very gentle. It's the safest medicine to try. It's loving. I describe it as Christ consciousness in a cup. It just opens your heart, clears the debris, clears negative emotions, and then a lot of times it gives you visions. It gives me profound visions, profound, clear communication with the guides. So, plant medicine, Vachuma. I have this beautiful cactus on my front deck. And, once you drink it, it becomes a part of you and you can maintain communication with it over time. Now, this class would not be complete if I would not name three most powerful animals in the Indian cosmology. They represent a very powerful teaching that we can relate to. These three animals you will see everywhere in the Andes, on carvings and paintings and artwork. For example, I brought you a beautiful drum that I brought from Peru, and you can see this huge bird, right? The condor. Before we can get to the condor, we get to meet the first animal, which is puma. And puma represents the physical reality, the middle world. So the way that Indian cosmology gives us these teachings that we have three worlds. We have a lower world, middle world, and the higher world, right? And we moving through each of these worlds, each world offers us a teaching. So Puma represents this physical world where we get to connect to that, to the qualities of Puma, right? Which is a true power and attunement to the environment, right? And great gracefulness and strength and what other qualities Puma represents? What I would say, power, sovereignty, attunement, strength. We have to develop our power. And this is the gift and opportunity for all of us to continue to develop our power. Now, the snake or the serpent represents the lower world, our subconscious, our sexuality, our instinct, right? We get to have that wild nature that can alert us to danger, or that can give us an opportunity to really feel more alive in our body and to be grounded in the world. So this is what the serpent or the snake represents. And then the condor is the messenger between the spirit world and the physical world. The condor with these huge wings represents the teaching of the balance, that if we lose our balance, we lose our power. Here's the condor. I found a little video for you. Look how massive this bird is. It's very regal. So life will, the experiences of life can throw us off balance. And when we go through life, we continue to learn this lesson on the power of balance. Sometimes we're like this, sometimes we're like this. But if we remember, the true journey is to continue to find our rhythm, to continue to find our direction, our purpose, our balance, and to continue to find these beautiful teachings from the lower world. The lower doesn't mean lower negatively, right? It's just subconscious. Our subconscious represents by a snake, our conscious power represents by Puma, and our higher mind or super conscious represents by a condor. Okay, I am going a little bit, I need to go a little bit faster because we're already almost at an hour. Of course, you can learn so much about the most adorable animals called alpacas and llamas. So there's alpacas and llamas. They're two different animals. And the alpacas and llamas, you can meet them in Machu Picchu, and they are considered to be sacred spiritual animals that open the way to communication with spirits. To see wild llamas is a great blessing. So one of the things that I organize for my Peru attendees, we take these nature excursions. And we go to these most ancient waterfalls and rivers where we can meet wild llamas. And it is unforgettable experience. So then, of course, you're going to meet these incredible Indian people who are beautiful artists. You see, when you live in organic rhythm, you have time for art. You have time for making beauty. And everything about the Andes is all about color and flavor. And people are very happy to see you. And people of Peru, to me, really embody nobility. You know, some of other countries that I've been to were incredibly challenging for me energetically, including Egypt. Egypt was a very difficult journey for me. I loved the mountains, loved the mysticism, loved all of that. But the country is in such survival, in such survival that you can never be left alone. You know, everybody just tags on you and wants you to buy things from them. And eventually it becomes really exhausting to be around that. When you come to Peru, people have nobility, you know? They are not desperate for your money, for your purchases. They have this dignity, which I deeply respect. And, you know, when they sell their crafts, they will invite you to engage, but then they leave you alone, which is very, very powerful. You can say so much by the spirit of that land. There is this nobility, there is this sense of dignity that I want to name. And of course, they are so welcoming. They are so just happy to have people come and discover their country. So all of that is Peru. If you'd like to actually go there and to experience, I'd like to take next few minutes to share with you about an incredible pilgrimage that I am honored to facilitate and bring about. This is going to be the fourth time that I go to Peru, and this is going to be in September. We are hosting a really incredible 10-day experience that I call the Grand Adventure. And it's adventure that heals you, that opens up new perspectives, that connects you to a much bigger vision for your life. Because when you go to the mountains in Peru are called Apus, and they're considered gods in a very direct way, that at the very top of the mountain, there lives a divine being. A divine entity that occupies the top of the mountain and protects the village that is built around that mountain. So when you are there, you will quickly learn that people know every name of every mountain, right? And they talk to it as a conscious being, Apus. And Pachamama, it's not just a name for Mother Earth, it's a name for time and space. Basically, entire cosmos is Pachamama. So they are in this direct relationship with time and space, with the cycles of the earth. And this is why they feel so protected and held by her, because they are in direct communication with her. So this is a journey that takes 10 days. And why 10 days? Because anything less is just not enough. Right? I wish I could tell you 5 days is enough, but you will feel dissatisfied. You will say, I wish I had more time. So, in this experience, we actually start our journey by arriving to this glorious eco-luxury center called Samadhi, which is the name for awakening, realization of oneness. And I am so grateful to collaborate with Samadhi because it's a really unique blend of beauty, style, eco-luxury, and sacred geometry design, right? The entire center is built as a kundalini descending, and the chakra cottages, and everything is done so intentionally. We have a variety of experiences from art therapy to different workshops, plant medicine with Wachuma, Inca Trail, and many different excursions. The main vibration of this experience is spaciousness and nourishment. I designed this schedule so people that come there, they feel deeply nourished and they have lots of space to hear themselves, maybe for the very first time. So this is not an experience where you just rush from activity to activity to activity to activity. It's actually everything is done invitation. If you desire to take space and channel your book and be it prayer, you can do that. And if you want a lot of community interactions, you will have an opportunity to do that. But we learn how to practice energy medicine. We learn different the wisdom teachings of the wisdom keepers, and it's a very, very rich schedule that will transform you, that will give you moments that you will remember for the rest of your life. So I invite you, if this calls you, we hike Mystical Trail that takes you right here. This is the video that I wanted to share with you. This is the sun gate, and this is how you see Machu Picchu. It's breathtaking. It's absolutely breathtaking. And we also meditate there. So it's not something you arrive there and again, you're being just kind of like moved around like a tourist. None of that is present at this experience. You're invited to meditate, to do breath work together, and to really take it in. So this experience is happening on in September this year for 10 days. And I would like to, beside that, I'd like to share with you. Hi. Hi, everyone. And those of you who's going to watch this recording, I'd like to share with you that this is a pilgrimage, and the essence of the pilgrimage, it's transformative. You're not going to a place like that and not be transformed in a deep, profound way. So I found that Pachamama chooses people, she calls them, and I am the communicator on the ground. I organize the logistics and bring masterful facilitators and make sure that everybody is really well taken care of. So if this calls you and piques your interest, please reach out to me. You will know how to do that. I will leave all the information. But before I finish this class, I did promise you an energy clearing technique. And those of you who have stayed here with me for the very end, you will receive this. So, when you come to Peru, you will see a lot of different shops, including shamanic shops, where you can buy many different tools. And one of them, like this one, is made of Palo Santo, is a clearing plant. And it's like this shaker thing. So they recommend to clear your energy every single day. Again, not once a month, not just on the full moon, every day, every day. One of the ways that I do it is I go outside with my bare feet and I make sure I'm on the grass, on some kind of organic place in the land. And I visualize that my feet have little windows. And I ask my body to open my feet chakra, and it opens. And I talk to Pachamama telepathically or out loud. And I talk to it like my best friend, like my mother, right? And I say, Pachamama, thank you for the opportunity to feel you with the bottom of my feet. And I ask, Pachamama, I feel this heaviness around my heart. Or, Pachamama, I feel somebody's envy. Or I feel somebody's resentment, or I feel my own anger, right? I feel this sadness, and I name it out loud. It's a part of the healing process. You want to name it, right? And then I say, Pachamama, would you open your gates and would you eat this energy? You want to ask Pachamama, this is the way of the ancient tradition. Shamanic tradition, you want to ask Pachamama to literally devour this energy. And it is considered to be a food offering. Any energy that you carry that you don't want, considered to be a food offering to Pachamama. So you say, Pachamama, would you please take this energy and devour it and eat it? And then you stay and you visualize or you feel, if you're a kinesthetic learner, you feel it. You say, please take it, receive it, and transmute it. And you can start with 5 minutes, like this little intro session, until you build the muscle of communication and connection. And here in the West, we're familiar with sage and Palo Santo. And this is great one-on-one clearing technology. But if we really want some real work done, we get to start communicate. And I know we don't have coca leaves in this, in the West because they're not allowed here. What you can do to make offerings is flowers. You can grow your flowers, or you can, when you go on a walk, you can find sometimes the tree releases flowers. If you find the flower on the ground, pick it up. That's your offering. That's nature literally gave you an opportunity to make an offering. So, starting to communicate with spirits of nature, make offerings, and to reach through your heart you will begin to feel more synchronicity, more good fortune, and more protection in your life. Because one of the teachings of the Incas is that when we go through spiritual awakening, we actually will be asked to heal our relationship with our earthly father and mother so we can embrace our true nature, mother and father. And our true nature, mother, is Mother Earth. And our true nature, father, is the father sky. So imagine opening yourself up to that. You have these cosmic parents. And when you connect to them through your heart and through ritual and through devotion, you're never going to feel like an orphan floating in space. You know you are a child of the cosmos, here to fulfill your destiny and to be a self-realized human. And for that, we learn from this ancient tradition. And for that, we travel. And for that, we leave our comfortable existence and go on pilgrimages to awaken something powerful in our souls, to receive new assignment from the great spirits of Apus. On this note, I'm going to conclude this class. Thank you so much for sharing this time with me, this mystical hour. I hope you received an insight, a confirmation, a validation. And if you'd like to learn more about the pilgrimage that is happening in September, you can find it on my website, carolinasatori.com. There is a button called Events. There is an application form, and you can also send me a private message or email me once you receive the replay of this class. Be blessed. Thank you for the opportunity to share this time with you. Until we meet again, may Pachamama and Apus bless you.